Oh, Gleeso and Alice the Wag, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Thursday morning. How are we all? Did you survive? You were up in the hills last night, Gleeso. Did you survive the weather?
I was. There was a few trees down as we were driving along to Mount Barker and a bit of wind and rain about, but it didn't turn out to be as bad as we all thought it was going to be. I did see a lot of CFS trucks around and stuff, the boys out there doing the wonderful jobs that they do, but luckily it didn't have the impact that everyone thought it was going to.
You live down the coast, Alice. How was it down there?
It was very windy off the Glenelg Beach, but clearly you're ready to, you know, chop some trees this morning. Ditz has turned up in his tracksuit pants with like full Blundstones on.
Yeah.
That's not fashion.
He had
fashion.
To kick the trees out of the driveway on the way here.
This is radio, not TV.
It's like comfort, but ready to work at the same time.
No, I can see what I'm wearing. Thank you. There's a reason
we'll
for
just
it.
Just set the scene for everyone.
Yeah, righto. What's coming up today?
Today we've got the big Brad Ebert coming in. So
yes.
Some goals on the weekend.
He
ready
played
to talk
well.
To him. We got Limo coming up for a few laughs, and the Angels, we're going to ask them, are beards on men attractive?
Now, this has all come about because we were looking at the story this morning about the Motor Accident Commission, which no longer exists, but they're axing the bloke, what's he called? The Hairy Fairy.
Hairy Fairy,
thank
with
Christ.
The big beard.
They're going for a more hard-hitting approach.
Yeah.
He makes me want to drive faster.
Oh, don't say that. That's kind of the opposite of what they're trying to achieve,
exactly.
Actually. Alice, are beards attractive?
You have to have the right like bone structure of your jaw, I think, to have an attractive beard.
God, it was a yes/no question.
Oh, okay.
Funny deep explanation about bone structure.
I'll go into, it. I'll go into the
structure.
Details in Angels.
Yeah,
not
all right.
To be missed.
Okay, here we are. Ruined It's on Triple M with Gleeso and Alice this week. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M with Gleeso, Alice the Wag and Ditz. Alice, you know over the last couple of weeks we've had a real big focus on mental health here on Triple M.
Yeah, it's been massive.
It has. And we've come across something that TrackSafe are doing, the TrackSafe Foundation. I thought it was worth talking about this morning. The Executive Director, Naomi Fraunfelder, joins us. Good morning, Naomi.
Good morning.
First of all, tell us about TrackSafe and the TrackSafe Foundation. What is it exactly?
So TrackSafe is a registered harm prevention charity that was set up by the Australian rail industry in 2012, specifically to look at incidents on the rail network. So incidents of suicide, trespass and level crossings, and the trauma that these can cause to train drivers and other rail employees impacted. And so we also have a big focus on best practice trauma support for the rail employees who might be exposed to an incident.
Look, that all makes a lot of sense, and I would have thought it would be one of the most horrific things you could ever encounter. But can I ask, how prevalent is it? How often does it happen?
So there are around 300 suicide attempts on the rail network across the country every year.
Right.
And about 100 of those result in a fatality.
That is it's
big numbers.
Big numbers, unbelievable. But you've launched Pause, Call, Be Heard as an initiative that's going nationwide. Tell us about how that's come into effect.
Yeah, so Pause, Call, Be Heard is an advertising campaign that's come about under the TrackSafe Lifeline partnership. So we've basically been working with Lifeline since our inception, and we've got a really strong partnership with them. And last year, we started rolling out this campaign. So Pause, Call, Be Heard basically comes from circling the 11 in Lifeline's phone number. It's sort of encouraging people to sort of pause, take a moment, stop and realise that there is someone that they can call. There's 2.5 million commuters who move through the Australian rail network every single day.
Every day?
And so we sort of
said,
every day. Mm. Yeah, there's about 50,000 on the South Australian network.
Yep.
But yeah, 2.5 million daily when you add up Sydney and Melbourne and around the country. And basically we said, what a great opportunity. There's so many people moving through the stations on their daily commute, and we can just give them that simple reminder that if they're going through a tough time or they know someone that is, they're never alone, and Lifeline's crisis support service is available 24/7.
All right, so Pause, Call, Be Heard. Naomi, what sorts of things will the commuters see at all of these railway stations around the nation?
So there's billboards in stations, posters in stations and on trains. There's also the digital billboards. So in stations when they've got the screens up with the timetable and that kind of thing, these Lifeline ads will appear there. And we're even doing geotargeting of smartphones being used in the rail environment. So if you're on a train and you're listening to Spotify or watching YouTube, you might get one of those break-in ads, which is helping to advertise Lifeline services.
All right.
Amazing.
Naomi, thanks so much for joining us. And what a smart way to approach a very, very serious issue. Thanks for sharing it with us, Naomi, and good luck with the campaign.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Naomi Fraunfelder, who is the Executive Director of TrackSafe Foundation. And to both of you, you know, I'd never, ever considered that before. We've talked a lot about mental health and suicide, but the trauma of someone, like she said, a train driver or someone that actually comes across this or is confronted by it.
Well, yeah, I've known a few train drivers over the years, and pretty well to a man, they've all experienced this and been affected very heavily by these things taking place.
Mum and I were coming home on Christmas Day once, and there was a girl standing on a train track, and we had to stop the car and get out and help her, and it was so traumatic. It was horrific.
How sad, on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, mum like ran out and grabbed her. So then you've got the trauma of me yelling at my mum. Mm. It was horrible. Mm. So,
And I think like the peer support thing, people are looking out for your friends, as was discussed a lot when we had the No Talk Day here last week. It's looking out for people and helping them to source these services is very important.
If you or anyone you know is struggling with some of these issues, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14. Triple M's ruined dits for breakfast.
Triple M.
Ebert leans back, slots the goal.
On ruined dits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert.
Ebert takes the mark.
Ebert.
Oh, I know it's Thursday, but we still can talk showdown, hey, can't we? Brad Ebert,
yeah,
good morning.
Why not? Good morning, guys. Good morning. We've got an 8-day break. We can hang on for another day.
There you go. Now, well done. And I want to say well done to you, quite seriously. You've been through a fair bit and you're wearing the helmet, but you were courageous the other night, so well done.
Oh, cheers, mate. Appreciate it.
There was a couple of, there was one funny incident where your helmet came off.
Yeah.
And it was funny. I think it was Alex Keith that actually handed it back to you.
He did.
But then he pushed you, gave you a shove, and I thought, hang on, you're being nice to him for a second, and then you go, why rack off?
1 second of niceness.
Didn't he? He sort of pushed you.
Nah, it was one of those ones where I sort of went at him because I thought it was more vicious than what it was. I looked back on it and I was like, oh, that wasn't really that hard at all. But I think the Velcro is starting to lose its stick. So
right.
He's come across and taken the helmet off, and I thought, hang on a second, if it's come off, it's come hard. So I've gone back at him. He's actually been like, oh, mate, I'm sorry. It wasn't that hard.
Have it back. So
have it back.
Because I was commentating, and I did. I actually said, I said, nice gesture, Alex Keith. And I went, oh, hang on, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, but get out of my way. Okay.
Is the helmet comfy? Like, do you enjoy wearing it?
It's not too bad, yeah. The only thing is I keep looking in the mirror and there seems to be some grey hairs popping. So I feel like maybe the helmet's causing that at the moment.
It makes you feel like you're everywhere on the ground because every time you look at it, the helmet's so obvious. You're just like, oh, there he is.
Mm. I know, and it's a good and a bad thing because the coaches on Monday, in a good clip, they go, oh, there's Evo running that route, or hang on a second, there's Evo standing there doing nothing. So
I think it's going to become more prevalent, especially in rugby league. They're having they're doing the concussion tests and stuff like that.
Yep. It's one of those ones where I probably won't wear it forever, but it's more just, and like the doctors have said, like it's not going to stop concussion, but it's probably more those those key sort of knocks where instead of just hitting you flush on the head, it almost takes a bit of the angle out of it. And, almost just, sways the fist away a bit maybe.
So everyone's got their opinion. It's funny, I'm still running into Port supporters now that, what about the game and what happened? So what did happen? At halftime, very even. It was a real even game. What turned it? What changed it?
I felt confident going into halftime that we were playing the right way, and I felt like over time our style was going to, be able to hold up and be able to do what it did, I guess, and probably not to that extent, but we knew at halftime going in that we were playing a good way. We probably got let off early with a couple of those goals and just playing pretty stationary football early. Mm. And then a couple of times we just shifted it off the line. We were able to sort of hit some targets that opened it up. And from there, I thought we were able to really just control the game well. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So do you think it was the Crows kind of letting themselves down or you guys?
I'd like to think it was us picking ourselves up. But it's one of those ones where you never know, do you? Like, I think it was the way that we ended up playing that was able to force them into those positions. Probably a few times this year where we've been able to maintain that vigour and consistency for four quarters. I thought that on the weekend we really had a good showing of that. And it's happened a number of times throughout the year. It's really now just been able to keep it going because
I would have thought after a game like that, you are absolutely spent. And when the final siren went, everyone was on their haunches. I mean, every player had given all they could give.
Oh, mate, we were.
And then you were just telling Gleeson, where'd Tommy Jonas end up after the game?
Nah, well, there was a couple of... it's always good after a game to go watch Bad Dreams, the Aussie rock band, a nice local rock band. So, Yeah, there's a couple of the boys ended up going out and watching them. So they're just a couple of local lads that are doing really cool things in SA, and you know, TJ and a number of the boys enjoy supporting them. And yeah, my name was on the door. I didn't quite make it though. So anyway, next time.
you wouldn't have the energy, surely. Don't you just go home after a game like that?
Oh, sometimes, but no, also it's an awesome win. So you know, you get a chance to actually, you know, I went out for tea and caught up with a couple of mates after and had a bit of fun. So yeah, I think it's probably an opportunity where you can just 8 day break, actually relax a bit.
Yep.
Yeah. And what does the 8 day break mean for you? Like, how much training goes on in that, and how much off time do you get?
Well, it ends up being pretty good. Yeah, usually. So, you know, a Friday would be a captain's run leading into a Saturday. This week it's like a line meeting and recovery, you know. So you're there for a couple of hours. Yesterday we had off. Tuesday, Thursdays are still our full days, and even Monday. But then the rest of the time they can sort of fit in some half days and just give you a little bit more of a chop out than, you know, what you normally would be getting. So it's just a good chance to probably get a couple of solid hit outs in, probably, you know, two good sessions in, and then also, you know, just a bit more recovery.
All right, more with Brad Ebert in just a moment. The question is, coming up next, how do Port Adelaide get out of this rut of winning well and then losing the next week? Yes. What are they going to do about it? We'll ask Brad Ebert in just a moment here on Triple M.
Triple M.
Ebert leans back, slots the goal.
On Bruins Hits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert takes the mark.
Ebert.
Brad Ebert's with us from Port Adelaide now. Everyone's talking about the yo-yo season that you're having. You have a great win, like you beat West Coast away and you beat Geelong here, and now you beat the Crows. But the games in between, there's a letdown, isn't there? Where have you addressed it this week?
Mate, I think that if we're able to stay as level as we can, I think, don't go riding the highs too high. Don't get caught up in all the sort of talk, and also don't get caught up in the lows too much. I reckon we can sort of stay level and get ourselves out of those sort of win-loss issues, because you look at like the Bullies game, and there was just so many other factors that went into that game. I thought that for a majority of the game we actually played quite well. We just we weren't able to capitalise on a few things, and then obviously ends up that we lose. So, you know, you sort of have a game like that, then you come into this weekend, you play well, and it all clicks. So I think that if we're able to just keep working on the stuff that we're trying to work on internally, I reckon we've, you know, addressed a few areas in terms of just getting in there and doing a little bit extra, doing everything we can really to like maximise our chance here. I think that then we'll be right. So yeah, and once again, you get a team like Brisbane coming down. Are they sitting in the top four?
Yeah,
now?
They're a good side. Yeah,
and they're flying. So it's going to be another challenge for us. So. I think as a team we're continually learning, and the competition, well, I've said it that many times, the competition is that tight that you can't take anything for granted, and we are going to have times where it is a bit up and down, and for us it just shows on the ladder where you sort of got win loss win loss win loss. But we are still sitting in the eight, and we've been playing some good footy, so I think that we can do that more often, we'll win more often, and we'll all be all right.
We saw Boakey, your captain, had a back spasm in the warm-up, so pulled out pretty much just before you guys ran out. How did that affect the game, like your captain just pulls out as you're running out?
He's former captain.
We've got
TJ and Ollie now. I thought I'd just better tell you, better just correct that one. If TJ and Ollie are listening.
Yeah. She was our boundary rider on the week.
I saw her in the chain rooms after the game. No, she did a good job. I thought, well done. But at the same time, I don't know, it was one of those ones where you're all sort of focused on your thing. We went in after the warm-up on the ground, came back in. He was still around at that stage, and so you probably didn't notice it too much when he sort of disappeared, and everyone's sort of staying together. There's 21 other guys, so you probably don't think too much of it. You just think, oh, maybe he's going to see the doc, he'll be right, whatever. You come down, do that final sort of warm-up, and you do start seeing that there's something going on, and Peps is getting himself ready. And for us as a team, we just sort of stay focused in the moment. I guess once it's game time, there's probably that elevation of adrenaline and all that sort of stuff. So you are just going, all right, well, if this is the case, we just roll with it, and whatever happens, happens.
Yes.
So
did you at any stage look over and think, why is Alice in the change rooms?
Why did she have binoculars out?
She was there after the game. She was trying to get in the song, though. I was a bit surprised. I thought, hang on, Alice isn't normally a Port supporter. She was in
the... So Boakey will get up this week, do you
reckon? He should, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he should. He was moving okay after the game. Like, not directly after the game, but say Tuesday after the game, he was moving okay. So I'd imagine he'll train today and should be fine to go. Yeah, it was just one of those freak accidents, I think, where he just sort of went down for a ground ball or something, and bang, the back went. And I think that's what's happened when you start getting over 30, isn't it?
Yes, thank you.
Hey, you can tell us about it, Gleeson.
Actually, my back's a bit cooked now. I don't think I'm going to turn out for you boys this week.
Righto, so good luck against Brisbane this week. And, yeah, let's hope that you can go back-to-back with a couple of big wins.
Yes, cheers, guys. I look forward to am I coming on this trip next week?
Hamilton Island, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Am I coming on that? Or what? Yeah. Just the one night up on Thursday.
Yeah. No,
that's I look forward to speaking to you guys next week.
Good on you, mate. Brad Ebert from Port Adelaide.
Ruin Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Lehman.
Lehman!
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Good morning, Lemo.
You beauty. Oh, wonderful to be with. I tell you what, Roo and Dits, I've been listening this morning, guys, and Roo, this is the best you've sounded in years, mate. I don't know what it is that you've done different, but you sound good today.
Yeah, he's on fire, isn't he?
Oh, that's really, really good. Hello, Gleeso, by the way.
G'day,
and Dits, can I just take up something with you? The sucking up to Brad Ebert. I mean,
what do you mean?
Did he need some sort of protection to get out of the building safely?
Oh, please.
Alice, were you standing in between Dits and Brad Ebert just to make sure that...
No, it's too dangerous.
You're not wrong there. Did he have wandering hands at all? Was it awkward?
Well, I couldn't see below
the above desk. The table.
Liam, mate, you should see when Russell Ebert comes in. I mean, we're talking God there.
He's the big dog.
Gee.
I can only imagine. Well, 7 McGarry medals will get you that. Was it 7 or 6 anyway? But Dits, I could just imagine your wife listening to that break going, why doesn't he talk about me with the same level of affection?
Yes, she runs a close second.
Oh, right. I tell you what, you'll get home, mate. She'll have Brad Ebert's jumper on. You'll be ready to go. Oh, we're expecting. What happened? I put Brad Ebert's jumper on.
Look, just because I called both my sons Ebert, my dog's called Ebert, I just wouldn't say I'm that carried away.
Did anyone watch the cricket last night? I know it's hard with breakfast radio to stay up until 1 a.m. and watch cricket. But anyway,
who was playing?
It was India and New Zealand, it's a World Cup semi-final.
Are you serious? Well, you think I'm going to sit in and watch India and New Zealand play cricket? Are you serious?
Wasn't it carried over from the night before?
It was rain delayed. It was a one-day game that went for 2 days.
Right. Who's running that comp? The Irish.
You know, they're expecting it to finish around Christmas time, I think, at this rate. But the Kiwis beat the Indians, who were clear favourites going in. It was one of the best games of one-day cricket I've ever seen, to be completely honest with you. But if you've got an Instagram account, right, and you want to get a little bit of traction, a little bit of traffic running through your Instagram account, it's very easy. Just post a picture taking the PISS out of the Indians for losing. Because Michael Vaughan did that, all right, the former English captain. He has got a picture of Virat Kohli holding a boarding pass to fly back to India.
right.
It's got him in seat 1A. Right? Yeah. He has got 2,808 comments on that. 2,807 of them are from India. Absolutely ragging on him. He's got a crack.
He's only peed, a billion people off?
Yeah. Choose your fights carefully. So he's safely tucked away in England, though, at the moment. Hey, guy, getting away from sport. Alice, what was that story you were saying before about the woman, the vegan, dressed as a cow?
Yeah, she was a vegan protester, so she dressed up as a cow and sat in front of the meat aisle and said, "Welcome to death."
Welcome to death. And people walked out thinking, gee, the cash cow from Sunrise has changed.
Can I have some cash?
used to give her. You know what would be really brave is if she went out to a farm somewhere and dressed as a cow.
That stood in line to get that bolt in the head.
That'd show genuine bravery right there. And guys, can I just give a nod to my wife while I'm on a public forum? I went to a wedding on the weekend, overseas. I went to an overseas wedding.
Oh, don't we love an overseas wedding?
Yeah, an overseas wedding's good because you know what people do? They put their weddings overseas to knock the numbers off.
Yeah.
And right. I take that as a challenge to make sure that I arrive on time and ready to roll and with a big appetite and I'm very thirsty. But I went and my wife let me go solo.
Where was it?
The wedding, it was in Italy.
Oh, what? You don't mind.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I just ducked over for a quick FIFO.
Why not?
And so I went to it was Lawrence Mooney's. It was actually a renewal of vows. Yeah.
The moon and man. He must be rolling around in big piles of cash.
A renewal of vows? That's not a wedding.
Well, they call it a wedding. You get married again, you know, after 10 years. But I went. It's hard. I was there for 4 full days, right? Mm. And I get home. My wife said, because she said, you should go. You know, it's fine. I said, oh, are you sure? I pretended to think about it for ages. It's really hard when you, I think she might have had a different attitude if the wedding was in Las Vegas. But it's really hard when you get home because you don't want to say you had a terrible time because she'll go, it's a complete waste. Yeah. But you don't want to go over the top with saying it was a great time because then she'll get jealous. So I'm trying to tread that middle line. Yep. Of going, yeah, no, it was good. It was fine. Would have been better with you there. Yeah. Would have been better with you there.
That's right.
Yeah. So what did you buy me while you were away? Forgot about that.
You can't go shopping at a wedding.
No, I got her a giant Toblerone. Is it obvious that I bought that at the airport on the way home?
And a box of Krispy Kremes. Yeah.
A box of Krispy Kremes.
All the way from the
National
Toblerone.
The national chocolate of Italy.
Yeah. Hey, good on you, Levo.
All right, good on you guys.
Bye,
guys.
Bye, soon.
Coming up next, Gleeso's rock and roll story here on Triple M.
The Book of Rockstar Stories.
You just stumbled onto the darkest secret in the history of rock.
With Dave Gleeson.
Oh, Gleeso yesterday told us about the gig that went wrong, where he turned up at the wrong city, the wrong town. What have you got for us today?
Well, the year was 1990-something. I think it was about 93. Right. Paul Keating was the Prime Minister, and they were having a particularly tough time, and they were talking about changing the flag, having a referendum to change the flag.
Right.
And we played, the Jets played as the opener to the State of Origin. That's a bit of a tie-in.
Timely.
In Sydney. And anyway, they wouldn't let us do our own song. They wouldn't let us play live, right? But our manager told us, look, it's a great opportunity. You're going to be in front of millions of people. And quite frankly, you're not. For seconds, you are. They show it more now, like the full performance of people like Guy Sebastiani last night.
That went well.
But yeah, you just get snippets. Anyway, so
Sorry, before you go on, how do you mean? You just get snippets and you're not seeing.
While they were doing the commentary, you'd kind of see the band playing on stage in the background. Oh, it wasn't as big a fanfare. Yeah, there wasn't as big a fanfare. So anyway, they said, well, we record We Can't Be Beaten, the Rose Tattoo classic.
Why didn't they get Rose Tattoo if they wanted that?
These questions and more will be answered. I think Rose Tattoo had broken up at that stage and it was just angry. So we went in the studio.
So
at
we
Albert's.
Want the Screaming Jets, but we don't want you to play a Screaming
Jets
song. Okay.
And we don't want you to play live.
Right.
So we went into Albert's and pre-recorded it. They said I could do a live vocal, which... That came back to bottom. So in the middle is a breakdown where Angry goes, brothers and sisters, we can rule the streets. It's up to you and me. So in that little breakdown, I said, if you think we need a new Australian flag, you can bugger off now, right? Anyway, we finished the thing. And I throw myself on the ground a lot when I perform. It's kind of part of my shtick.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. So I come backstage and the guy who's running the thing, his name's Brian Walsh. He's the head of Foxtel nowadays.
Right.
He was apoplectic. Red. His face. He's going, what have you done? He's just losing his stuff. You've just sworn on national television. I said, I didn't swear on national. You did. Anyway. So we didn't get paid. We were told we'd never work in this town again.
Really?
We had all that stuff going. It was only about 5 years ago that I see Brian Walsh at the Cabaret Festival, and he goes, "Oh, and that time he said you dropped the F bomb." I go, "I didn't drop an F bomb, mate." He goes, "Yes, you did." So then I realise this guy's been dining out for the last 20 something years, telling everyone how I said, the big F. On stage in front of the millions of people who were supposedly watching, but
and you never did.
I never did. I said bugger off. I didn't say the big one,
right?
But so Brian Walsh still sits there at his dinner parties. I'm sure. Oh, and there was this one time Dave Gleeson said F. Oh, and I went off my head. So yeah, it was that was the end of our State of Origin performances. But
why would they say to a band, don't perform live? What's that all about?
Well, just for technical purposes. But I think after that they said, Actually, let the band perform live. Don't let the singers have live microphones. But yeah, so we did get to sit in the right behind the cheerleaders and watch the State of Origin. That's the closest I've ever been to the action. But yeah, that was the end of. Oh, I do like to get a bit political. Oh yeah, Dave Gleeson's on the pulse. But yeah,
after hearing that story, you can kind of understand why they did choose Guy Sebastian to perform last night.
That's right.
Just nice and easy. Let's go for someone good.
Inoffensive.
Yeah. He's not going to say anything like that. Well, he's just going to say nice stuff.
There he is. Bit of
he
rock and roll.
He sounds a bit like you, got Dave.
He does. And looks a lot like me with my shirt off.
I did see him lying on the ground, though.
No. Righto, another extract there from Dave Gleeson.
Ladies. Ruin Dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Dits and Gleeso.
I didn't know what to say.
Oh, come on, Emma. Get with the program. Nice one. Righto. What are we talking about, Alice?
Well, gender reveals are becoming a massive thing. So just to explain
gender
for those
reveal.
That don't know what it is. So you go and get your final ultrasound. I think it's at 12 weeks. You can find the gender or whatever it is. And then they put in an envelope what the gender is so the parents don't find out what it is. And then you then take the envelope to like a balloon maker or people are doing it with car skids or whatever it is to put a colour in. Whether
car
it's,
skids.
So they skid the tyres of their car and the smoke is either blue or pink.
Oh.
So that's a bit of a
bogan way of doing it. Yeah.
But the main way people are doing it is getting a big balloon and then when you pop it, it either pops with blue confetti inside or pink confetti.
Right.
So, yeah. So I actually went to my first one the other day of one of our really good friends and they've got the balloon. There, all their closest friends and family are standing around and they pop this balloon and find out what gender they're having.
Right.
And it sounds a bit naff, but it was so nice and everyone started crying and they were so excited. And it was really fun to actually be involved in that.
So as the person attending, what were you meant to do? Do you bring a present? Or do you just come with drinks or what do you do?
I was just sat there and ate cupcakes.
Right. It's exciting.
Like, yeah. I didn't do anything.
Right. Emma. Yeah.
I think gender reveals are so kitsch.
Yeah.
Nobody else cares what gender your baby is. Like, I don't think I'd even find out the sex of my baby before it was born. Like, the gender reveal is when it comes out of you. I think, that's it.
What about the husband going, oh, bugger. Oh, is that for a better one than that? I did see one the other day where they had the skid in the tyres and some dude in a Commodore, a hotted up Commodore, and there was all blue smoke coming out, and then it caught fire. And the car got absolutely written off.
No.
And I saw a meme that said, it's a bogan.
Is it a boy? Is it a girl? Yeah, it's a bogan.
Mel the button pusher.
I can just imagine. What's the name of the person who actually does the scan? Is that a radiographer? Or
sonographer.
So they've studied for years. Can you imagine those poor people if they're the ones who have to put it in this secret envelope for little Savannah over there to announce... the gender of her baby.
What about if the balloon blows up and it's purple? You go, oh, God, a hermaphrodite.
A radiographer should just get it wrong just to mess with them.
Oh, nasty.
No, I think it's ridiculous. Just no one cares, like Em says.
But the one
you're
I went
the only person who cares.
She had already had a baby, so she had a little baby girl, and she said that was a surprise. So it was so nice to actually share the excitement of finding out with her like friends and her mum and stuff, because when you're in the hospital room there's so much going on that you don't really have the chance to celebrate the sex of the baby because it's all just happening at once. You're so excited the baby's there. But this was like
you just
celebrate.
So you
the
thought
fact
I'll
out.
Celebrate, I'll have another cupcake.
Well, they were pink and blue cupcakes. Oh, so you know,
right. First ultrasound I saw, I thought, oh, he's hung like a horse. It was the umbilical cord.
Hey, now beards. Mel, are beards attractive on men? Every young bloke these days has got a beard. Are they attractive?
Well, they certainly can be. And there's just two words, kempt and unkempt.
Right.
Unkempt, dead, unsexy.
Yep.
And if you look after yourself and
bits of food hanging out of it and whatever. Yeah, that's awful. Yeah.
Feathers.
Or if you're a bit too multicoloured, some guys have one colour hair on top of their head and then when they grow a beard, they're all of a sudden like a tiger and there's white and orange in there.
Alice.
Yeah, I don't mind a beard. I like it short. I don't like a long beard, but a short beard and stubble I quite like. And like, I think it can be quite flattering on guys as well. You know, if you do have a double chin or something, that it provides like a line and gives you a bit. It does. It gives you
a jawline effect.
Yeah, it gives you a jawline effect, promise.
Right. So okay. I'll get to it.
Maybe give that a go.
Just chuck it out.
Have you ever had a beard, Gleeso?
I can't grow one. I've got this like patch in the middle that won't do it. But if I was to grow one now, strangely, it would be grey and my hair's not.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
I have to talk to my hairdresser.
Emma? beard?
Yeah, I like a beard. Not full on, but just a little bit of, you know, like 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
Just a bit of stubble.
Bit rough.
Bit of rough around the edges. I like that kind of look.
But it does, like, you cause patch rash.
Yeah.
And one time I called my mum and I was like, Mum, I'm breaking out because I had it like all over my face and neck. But Joel just had like 3 day growth.
Oh, so
and
you
he'd
attacked.
Been kissing me, and yeah, it was actually just passion. I know,
but I people have got these beard salves and oils. Sam Brewster in the Angels has a good beard, a man's beard, but yeah, he's always got the nut oil or some type of almond oil that he puts through it. Manscaping,
right? So that's another. I mean, there's the next question. What if a bloke who just spends time on it buying products and things like that? I mean, surely that's a turn off.
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah. You want somebody that looks like they didn't make any.
Rugged.
I feel like after what we found out about on this show about you using clippers, I don't think you should have an
Let's
opinion.
Let's move on. All right. They were the Angels.
Things we didn't get to.
Well, I have to hear that another one time tomorrow. Fantastic. And then I'm going to go in there. I'm going to say, no, you're going to have to delete that. And I'll do something better for next time.
Hard to top.
It's actually Ditz's favourite part of the show, amateur hour. Now, the Motor Accident Commission have decided they're going to ditch the hairy fairy, which is fantastic because he's there. He's supposed to stop you speeding. Mm. But every time I see that ad, I feel like jumping in my car and driving as fast as I can to wherever he is to slap him, right? That's just the worst advertising campaign. And look, they're thinking of making more impactful advertising campaigns. For anyone who's ever seen the Victorian Accident Commission ads, they are pretty heavy, some of the ones they've done. And I think that's what they got to do.
We need to shock people.
Yeah, not sugarcoating. I mean, and look, 61 people have been killed on Adelaide's roads in the last 6 months as compared to 38 this time last year. So obviously the message is not getting through.
Look, and good morning to all of the advertising agencies that we work with and who do a great job.
Sure.
But there's some arty-farty person sat in a room one day and thought, I'll get a hairy bloke with a beard and put him in a tutu.
Yep.
They do. They get a bit too creative sometimes, don't they?
100%. And if I'm in my car, you do think, like, when you go to look at your phone, not that I do, but if you go to look at your phone, you think of those ads where you see those girls in the cars and they have the crash, and that's what you think of. Mm. Like, you're not thinking of some hairy fairy sitting in the back seat of your car.
Yeah, but someone gets paid a lot of money to come up with these ideas, and I know it's to be creative all the time must be difficult. There's no doubt about that, but I think, in this case, we need a hard and fast message that's going to shock people.
I feel like it also probably went through a lot of hands to get to the point where it was on TV, and why did no one go, do you know what, I'm not sure a man in a tutu with a beard is really getting that message across.
Mm. Do you know what happened? A hipster sitting there stroking his beard, having a bowl of Akai, said, you know what, that's amazing. let's put that to our... thankfully, the MAC...
Years ago, everyone would have their favourite or least favourite ad, but Carlton drafted an ad where blokes walked into a building in suits with canoes. Do you remember that or not? And again, I thought, what is the message and who thought of this and what did they get paid to do this?
Tens of thousands of dollars,
maybe
no
doubt.
Maybe
they have their meetings after a few frothies.
Maybe, maybe.
I feel like that sounds like a good idea.
It'd be craft beers, I would imagine.
While you're sitting on a crate.
Now, great news for the Superloop 500, as it's now called. 90,000 people attended this year. Earlier on when was it? In March? That was up from 82,000 people last year, and they reckon it's a $45.9 million injection into the local economy.
I just ask you: are they saying that's how many visitors we had from interstate overseas, or is that total attendance?
Attendance record.
Wow.
Oh, hang on,
I think it's bigger than that. Anyway, but the economic benefit.
Yeah, $45.9 million.
Fantastic, brilliant.
So, and that probably had something in a little part to do with Red Hot Chili Peppers playing there, which everyone said was absolutely chock-a-block.
Yeah, so. Alice and I went to that.
They had Robbie Williams the year before as well. They've had such good concerts. They do a very good job.
They had the Angels a few years ago, and that was pretty big.
That's even bigger than the Red
Hot. Just gone downhill since, hasn't it?
And this is sad news because I, at one stage, before I had a license, I used to drive around in one of these. A VW Beetle is stopping production.
Yeah.
1938 they began those. They were actually the Volkswagen, the people's wagon. It was part of the initiative that Hitler was involved in getting the economy up and running and manufacturing up and running.
Let's make a car that looks like a pasty.
That's right. And but it is sad because I was a huge fan of the Herbie movies,
yes.
Number 53.
Herbie the Love Bug.
Until Lindsay Lohan came along and added her little special whatever she does to it. So, yeah, that's a little
there's
bit
sad.
There's
one positive to that, though, is there's going to be so many kids now when they don't have bruises on their arms from playing punch buggy. Did you ever play that? Every time you see one, I'd just get a massive punch in the arm from my brother. Punch buggy, Brad!
But I hear that they're actually talking about doing a revamped version of the combi.
So, oh, nice.
I'd like to see what they look like.
Nice.
There
all
it
right.
is.
So that's what we didn't get to today with Gleeso. Hey, time for us to go. We'll do it all again tomorrow morning. See you then.
Bye.